My technology guy there, he's getting me all hooked up. You know, Wes has a new cell phone, so he's my tech guy now. Hey, so there's a lot of stuff going on. And it's neat to see how things work. And I've preached on God's plan and how perfect and how His timing and everything is. But today is no different. If you guys will indulge me, can we all stand up and make a circle? Please. This is going to drive my wife crazy because it's out of the ordinary, but we're going to do it anyway. It doesn't have to be a perfect circle. I'd like us all to join hands. I didn't know how I was going to tie this in, but I come in this morning and the bulletin says, never stop praying. So, today, it can be a square, it can be a T, I really don't care. Today, we have a lot of health issues going on inside our church body. You know, we've already heard from Rick. That's a miracle, guys. Because I talked to Wes Friday morning. He's mad. It don't look good. And that... Yeah. Yeah. Across. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, Steve and Trishy. Trishy's going to have some surgeries. Steve's having the back issues. Just a lot. I don't want to miss anybody, so, Dan, Tenny and Shirley, Chris's grandmother, who's, I'm going to get it wrong, 87, 89 years old, which is it, 89, was picked up by the ambulance this morning, taken to the hospital. She fell about 3 weeks ago and was all just battered and bruised and starting to recover from that, but she's got some internal bleeding going on. They're not sure what's going on. She also got a report this week from the doctor. She's got some spots, and they want to know how to handle that, and she said, I am 89 years old, so how do you think we're going to handle it? And she said for a couple years, if it's my time, it's my time. We hope it's not because we don't want to lose her, but we know God's plan. We will see. His plan will be revealed to us. So what I would like to do is I'm going to have Matt will lead us off, okay? And we're just going to go around the cross here. And if you don't want to pray, that's fine. Just squeeze the guy's hand next to you. And it'll move around. Eventually it'll get back to me, and I'll finish up. But I thought, you know, when I saw this on the bolt, I said, I'm going to do it. I wasn't sure how people would respond, but I'm doing it. So we're going to pray as a group, as a corporate church, and where one or two people are gathered, he is also. So lift your prayers up, be bold, and if you don't want to pray, that's fine. But when it gets back to me, I'll close this up.
Board and new leadership. Pray that they can get on board with what's best for the community. and for our guys, and to be able to grow our fire department and become a family again.
Well, especially for our military board, we know that it's time for the guard to come forward. If you can just put your hand on them and see us through this difficult time, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank the Lord to be able to be here with these saints. Circumstances other than to be alone. I thank the Lord just the same, because no matter where I am, I'm with my family. Pray Lord to reach out to this church. I want to grow bigger and stronger and longer. The Lord, without you, we have none. I'm so thankful that you took your, that you gave your life. I took this strap on your back for our healing. And I thank you for touching this man who's talking about this. Lord, pray that you're still on the front of us today. Thank you for your love.
Keep us safe and strong and loved. continue to heal the issues that were there and continue to work with my grandmother over in Ireland and my grandfather down in Florida in their 90s, just give them peace and healing, and I know they'll close to you when it's time. And please continue to feed those people that don't get these miracles, but it's just their time. Just please be with them, their families, their caretakers. And we pray.
I'm so grateful for your love, for a church family like this that can come together and just
know, you just hate to see something like that happen.
Yeah, let's lift her up right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and just put your hand on Sue, Lord. And we hear that stage four, and we know that's a scary, scary thing, Lord. And just, if your plan is to use Sue more, provide another miracle, Lord. Just put your hand on her and just heal her and make her whole. Lord, we've seen it. We know you can do it, and we're asking you to do it, Lord. If your will is to have Sue and have her continue to serve you, Lord, then heal her and make her whole. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, thank you for that. I know some people don't enjoy out of comfort zone. But I'm telling you, I learned stuff as an elder of this church through this today that I didn't know was going on. So now we, as a congregation, can pray more efficiently, can pray for every need in our church. And the cool thing was that cross was cool. Now, we wouldn't pass geometry because I said a circle. Okay? But God's plan is better than mine. So, thank you for that. So, I kind of got excited about this. Well, first I kind of balked. Because God said, Matt, I want more out of you. And I said, God, how can you get more? I'm a dope. I'm a dope. He said, I want you to expand what you're bringing to the pulpit. I don't know what that means. What I can tell you is, God had laid this on my heart a little bit ago, and Joseph and the Coat of Many Colors. And I thought, well, that'd be a pretty good sermon, and I prayed over it, and we got into it, and I started studying, and I'm like, oh my goodness, there is way, way more to this than what I can deliver in one Sunday. So I thought, well, that's okay, we'll break it up. And we'll go over two or three Sundays, whatever it is. So, you think God's plan isn't working. Number one, I saw this when that prayer circle thing laid on my heart yesterday or Friday. But we get here and Les says, hey, I talked to Verlton. We can't get anybody for the fifth Sunday. We're going to put them on the third Sunday of May, which is my Sunday to preach, which is perfect. And then God says, kicks me right in the behind. And he says, Matt, I gave you two messages. So I said, well, I can do the fifth Sunday. Les goes, well, okay. And I said, I think I have a two-part sermon. So I would like to do it closer than a month apart. And he said, well, why don't you just do the next two Sundays and Matt will do the fifth Sunday. So God's plan is perfect. Because I didn't know how this was going to work out. I'm not sure if you're going to get anything out of it, but I know I've gotten a lot out of the study and the preparation. So Joseph and the Coat of Many Colors, and then I expanded the title to Jealousy and Abandonment. Any of us that have kids know, that have multiple kids know, that sometimes there's a dad likes me more than he likes this one. Or dad did more for this one than he does for this one. Or mom yells at this one more than she does this one. So there's that jealousy thing that kicks up. Do we do that as Christians? Sure we do. Man, Matt McGlott's way smarter than me. Huh, he is. I don't get jealous over that. It's just a fact. But, you know, or so-and-so has a better job than me, or so-and-so has a better house than me, or the list goes on, whatever it is for you. The jealousy will always be there. We're human. What we do with that is where God comes into play. So a quick story. I have a little game I play with all three of my daughters. And if I'm doing something with one of them, I'll say, okay, now, don't tell your sister that you're my favorite. Okay? And if they're all three in a room together, we might be sitting around a dinner table or whatever, and one of them bring up a good point, and I'll say, you know, that's why you're my favorite. And I'll go like this, like they weren't supposed to hear that. That's all good fun. I hope they all three know how much I love them, and there are no favorites. Shelby gets to experience things first, so it may seem like we make a big deal, but you know, Shelby's going to graduate from college with her bachelor's degree in 3 weeks. 3 weeks? May 5th. That just blows my mind, because it just seems like yesterday she was a little five-year-old with a backpack that was bigger than she was, walking bow-legged and pigeon-toed into school with pigtails and a little dress. So that blows my mind. Most of you know Lindsay is in the Air National Guard, and last year she went through boot camp and tech school. That blows my mind. That's a proud moment. Morgan continues to grow and develop. You know, I help coach the softball team here at Northmore, and we have 15 girls. Is it 8, Morgan, or 9? 8 freshmen of the 15. So when we started the season, the coach and I were like, man, it could be a long year. These girls are 7-3. They are 7-3, so I'm pretty proud of Morgan and what she's accomplished. She is a starter on that team. She's batting 400. If you're a stat guy, that's pretty good. But it's just a game. It's just a game. It's the life lessons we're learning along the way that impress me about what we're doing. So, with that all being said, things we should know before we get into Joseph and Jacob. I think there's some things you should know about Joseph. My Bible it's pretty foolproof, dummy-proof. It has this little title. It says, Things You Should Know About Joseph. It's pretty cool. So, Joseph was a daddy's boy. Joseph didn't put much effort into his relationship with his brothers. And ultimately, he paid the price for that. It's not his fault that his father spoiled him, but Joseph fueled his brothers' hatred by giving his father bad reports about them and telling them that one day he would rule over them. Joseph felt like he was sucker punched. When he found out how his brothers really felt about him and the things they did to him, which we'll learn, man, I had to feel like a gut punch. Joseph was a born fighter. In the situation Joseph was put in, and a lot of this will be next week, but he was put into some pretty rough situations, and he came out on the end of it pretty good, as you'll find out. I'm not going to spoil it, but as you'll find out, and then Joseph was a networker. Anybody familiar with that term? Anybody here a networker? What's that mean? Basically, you're a salesman, right? Right? You're a salesman. You can make relationships in all different areas and facets of the world. And then if you have a need, you know the contact to go to. So that's what Joseph was. I'm not going to use the last two because that will spoil everything. So now we're going to get into Genesis chapter 37. And the title of that is Joseph's Dreams. But I'm just going to start reading and then we'll talk about some of it. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now, Jacob had 12 sons. Everybody, ever heard of the 12 tribes of Israel? That was Jacob's sons. Okay? Now, in verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. So here's where we talk about this jealousy. And here's where we talk about this sibling rivalry. But man, I've never made a richly ornamented robe. Now we tell the story and we call it the robe, the coat of many colors, right? Okay, mine says richly ornamented, and then it's got a footnote, and down there it says the meaning of the Hebrew for richly ornamented is uncertain. So that tells us a lot. So we're going to go with coat of many colors. And I'm going to tell you that those colors all represented something to Jacob. Now, me, this is my shirt of many colors right here. Also known as my preaching shirt. That's what we call it at home. Okay? But to me, I would feel pretty silly wearing a coat of many colors. I don't like a lot of colors. I mean, vertical stripes in me don't go well. So I'm hoping it's, you know, checks or something. But anyway, the importance is Jacob gave this one son, Joseph, something that none of the other 11 had. Now, I think we also can take from this, Joseph was probably the youngest of the 12. Because that's why he was so favored by Jacob, because he had him at such an old age. Okay? So in my mind, when I was going through all this, I'm trying to imagine their village or their encampment. Now, did each one of those sons have their own tent? Were they in their 40s? Were they in their 50s? Were they, you know, 29 through 17? Were they married? Did they have kids of their own? These are all things that go through my mind. The Bible tells us he was 17. I have a daughter that's going to be 15. I cannot imagine putting her on a pedestal and setting her up for failure. Not that failure is a bad thing. But with the other, especially, I'm really surprised these weren't sisters. No offense to women out there, but if it was 13 sisters of Jacob, or daughters of Jacob, ooh. Because I have 3 daughters, and I'm telling you, it keeps us busy. Okay, so we're gonna move on. But one more little story. My grandfather, and I've talked about him before. In the last year of his life, he had a quadruple bypass down at, I think it was Riverside Hospital. I don't know. I was a lot younger. I think Chris and I were married, and Shelby was just born, or maybe 6 months old. So she didn't get to go to the hospital. But I can vividly remember sitting in this room, and Grandpa. I think everybody else had went to supper, and Chris and I were left in a room with Grandpa, and he was kind of in and out of coherency at this point. He wasn't getting enough oxygen to his brain, so that's why they were going to do the quadruple bypass, and he wasn't breathing right, whatever. But I remember sitting on his bed, and he grabbed my hand, and he said, "Matt, you are the oldest grandson. You have got to promise me you get your grandmother off that farm." Now, Grandpa, you're coming in for a bypass. You're going to be fine. He knew what God's plan was for him, that he may never go back to that farm. And I was kind of taken back by that. Grandpa, I'm 25. I have my mother, my aunt, and my three uncles that I got to convince, and my grandmother. So that was the coat of many colors that was laid on me. Luckily, God had prepped a lot of hearts, and I didn't have to be by myself in that thought. Because it was an old farmhouse, 80 acres, needed a lot of work, not for a 75-year-old woman to do. So, they sold the farm. Grandma moved in town to a beautiful house, lived there for quite some time. Grandpa came home, got adjusted to living in town, didn't like it, but he lived there. So with that, and I tell my girls all the time, with great benefit comes great responsibility. So with this coat, I don't know whether Joseph knew it at the time or not, but he also took on a load of responsibility by being tabbed the favorite. So, when his brother saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Now, Joseph, he must not have been very smart. Because you've got your new coat, and they don't like you. So here comes Joseph. He said, listen, guys, I had a dream. Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Joseph, Joseph, Joseph. So while there was jealousy, a lot of this Joseph brought on himself. Because what happens? When somebody really starts calling us out for something we did great, what do we start doing? What happens to our head? It starts going like this. We think we're a lot better than what we really are. And Joseph had that dream, so he just told it. Pretty cool that he wasn't scared. Then his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. Then he had another dream and told it to his brothers. Listen, I had another dream. And I can just imagine the 11 saying, oh yeah, Joseph, what's that? Or pounding their fists. Yeah, Joseph, what do you got? But again, he tells him. He said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Again, I say, Joseph, Joseph, Joseph. Here's the neat part. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So, okay, he gets yelled at a little bit. Didn't take his coat of many colors away, but he got yelled at. So then Joseph, we'll move on. In verse 12, and this is where the jealousy comes into action. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, Israel is also Jacob, as you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them. Very well, he replied. So he said to him, go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me. Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, what are you looking for? He replied, "I am looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. So the jealousy became action. Now, I don't know. If they did he use binoculars to spy him? No. They saw his coat with the vertical stripes and the many colors, and they said, "Here comes Joseph, let's get him." Right? But it doesn't really say who was the mastermind of the plan, so I'm going to guess all 11 of them said, "Hey, let's get him." Here we go. Here comes that dreamer. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and then take him back to his father. So, and again, I didn't study deep enough, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say Reuben's probably the old guy of the bunch. Maybe not. But he's smart enough to know, "Hey, I'm not killing my brother. That's going to bring shame to the whole family if we do this. We're going to have to, you know, we're not going to be allowed back at the camp if anybody finds out we killed Joseph." So Reuben says, "No, we're not going to kill him. But see this deep well? Let's put him down in there. He won't get out." Now in Reuben's mind, he was going to rescue him, take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. See, here's another case. Nothing good comes from Gilead. Sorry, Dwayne. I don't think it's the same place. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Joseph said to his brothers, Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers all agreed. So there's another case where they didn't want that blood on their hands. Once they didn't think that plan through entirely. They just knew they were angry and jealous. So they acted before they thought. And luckily, God's plan is perfect. And they kept giving these brothers outs. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. Anybody know how much 20 shekels is? Maddie? No? It's 8 ounces of silver. Anybody know what 8 ounces of silver is worth? Brad must have a lot of silver. He's doing the math. 1 ounce of silver is worth $16.75 today. So for $134, they sold Joseph into slavery. They knew what he was going to be. He was going to be a slave. $134. Look what jealousy does to us. Morgan, don't get any ideas. Your daughter or your sisters are worth at least double that. I'm teasing. So they sold him, who took him to Egypt to be a slave. When Reuben, and now Reuben was gone from this while they were eating their evening meal, so he was probably out tending to the flock, that would be my guess. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Okay, so Reuben was upset. Reuben was upset. Why? Because my belief is Reuben was in charge of everything that went on with the flock. So Reuben was going to get in trouble by Jacob because that went on under his watch. They got another plan. These guys are brilliant. Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe into the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it was your son's robe." Now, there was only one robe, one coat of many colors that I know of. So I'm pretty sure when Jacob saw him coming carrying that robe, he knew what had happened. Okay? He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Now, has anybody ever, I know none of us good Christian people would do this, but has anybody ever been, had a plan and it involved a lie? Brad hasn't. And when we get to tell the story, we don't flinch about the lie. That's what the 11 brothers did. Now, I never told a lie when I was a kid. But I can tell when each one of my three daughters have a different tell. When they're not being totally honest. I won't say lie, but when they're not being totally honest, they each have a different tell. I'm just guessing. We probably all have one. I know I do. Chris can tell you what it is. If I'm not telling the whole story, I don't even remember now because it's been so long since I've stretched the truth. What's my nose doing? I don't remember what it is, but Chris said, "I can tell when you're not being totally telling me the whole story because what is it? I don't even know." Anyway, it doesn't matter. But we all have that tell. And as Jacob's looking at these guys, he's saying, "Yep, Reuben's lying. Yep, Judah's lying." You know, he goes on down the line. But he buys into the story. So, then Jacob tore his clothes, put on a sackcloth. Remember, we learned about sackcloth a while ago. Basically a burlap bag. Comfortable stuff. And mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "in mourning will I go down to the grave to my son." So his father wept for him. Then in verse 36, meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. So even the Midianites came up with a plan. "I can make money. I paid $134. I'll bet one of Pharaoh's officials will pay a lot more." So they did. Have we ever been abandoned like Joseph was? Have we ever felt like we were abandoned like Joseph was? And I'm going to leave you with this today because it's a pretty good place to pick up next week. Joseph was abandoned by his family, abandoned by the people that owned him, and sold into more people. I bet Joseph was feeling woe is me, right? Had to be. He went from being the highly touted son to now being a slave and being owned by somebody. Jealousy, envy, whatever. That's what this all leads to. And we talk about abandonment. Reuben didn't say, no, we're not going to do this. He tried to come up with a more comfortable way to do it. How many times in our lives, when we know we shouldn't do something, do we come up with our own plan that doesn't make us, we think doesn't make us look as bad? Or may not be as big a consequence. That sin is sin. What these guys did, man, glad they weren't my brothers. Because I'd have been the one they sold off, because I'd have run my mouth about dreams. I probably wouldn't have had the coat, because I wouldn't have been that favored. But I'd have run my mouth about some dreams I had. These guys, I'm telling you. So here's the teaser to get you back for next week. Joseph doesn't die. And Joseph gets reacquainted with his brothers. And I'll leave it at that. If you want to read, read. But I'm going to leave it at that. It's a pretty neat story. And the way God puts this, this is in the first book of the Bible. But it applies to us today. When we let our emotions get the best of us and we start forming actions based off of our emotions rather than factual knowledge or biblical knowledge, we usually end up on the wrong side of the stick. And then we got to have that come to Jesus meeting where we figure it out. And those hurt. Because God doesn't use a toothpick on me because I'm too dumb. I get the big 2x4. Because that's what it takes to bring me back. Thankfully, our God will always correct us and bring us back. Because He wants that relationship with you. And I know you know that. He wants the relationship, even with Reuben and Judah and the other 10, he still wanted that relationship. But he is always protecting us, even when we feel like he's not. He protects Joseph. He protects a lot of people. I love the Old Testament because I love the stories. Because I can't memorize scripture. I don't know why. But I can tell you where stuff is, usually. And I love the stories because it brings them to life. And then I can apply it because I'm simple. I need to see how it worked for somebody else so that I know what mistakes they made, how they could have corrected. The bottom line is we can't correct. But it was corrected. Our God took everything that we're going to do dumb, that we're going to do silly, and He put it on that cross many, many, many years ago. Our sins are covered. That doesn't give us a free pass, but our sins are covered. So with that, I'd love to see you back, but if you don't come back and hear the end of it, because I'm simple. I fully understand. But I'd love to see you back next week. This has been really neat for me to see how I have grown over the last year and a half. Because I think I've grown more than what any of you have gotten out of me. But if I can reach one, it was worth it. All right. So as we close today, I want you to take this story. Maybe you come into somebody this week that has never heard the story. Man, we got a lot going on. Don't let God not be a part of it. That's our choice. You know, God could just pound himself into our lives. He didn't. He wants us to want him. So when you have times of envy and times of jealousy and times of rage this week, go to prayer. Don't act. Go to prayer. Let God have it. Because with that many kids on the softball team, even though we're 7-3, we still have them. Because everybody thinks they should be a starter. And everybody thinks they're the best player on the team. And that's great. But let God have them before your jealousy and your envy and your rage take over. That's my challenge to you. When you feel yourself this week getting upset, or you feel yourself getting mad, or you feel yourself getting jealous, take 10 seconds to say a prayer to God. See how he will work. Let him work. Let him work. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and Lord, I know we're later getting out than we normally are, but that the prayer was powerful, Lord. Prayer is powerful. And I thank you for that, and I thank you for being the God that hears all of our prayers, not just one. We can bombard you, and you still know each individual prayer. Lord, just put us in positions this week that we can share your love and share your example of how we should act. Lord, just let us, every time that situation comes up, let us turn to you instead of turning to our plan. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to have a song of invitation. The praise band will be here. Les and I will be here. If you need more prayer, come forward. If you need to accept Jesus into your life for the first time, come forward. We'd be more than happy to share with you that experience.